Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, November the 25th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Julie P., the 12 Traditions, Mary P. The readers of the text are Tanya P., Ann S.C.H., and Dana P. Today, we'll be reading in the Big Book. We'll be on page 60 in How It Works, starting with the second paragraph, our description of the alcoholic, and it ends with could and would if he were sought. And the comments are on that one paragraph only. The share ID for yesterday's Sunday special edition, November 24th, is 21,393. That's 21. Oops, I did that wrong. It's 21,939. And that is 21,939. Sorry about that. And Monday, November 25th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,940. That's 21,940. Our newcomer greeter is Chanel T., and our announcements person is Betsy H. Thank you all for your service this month. Our OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Julie P. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. Thank you, Mo. My name is Julie P. I am a recovering compulsive overeater, currently in Minnesota, blanketed with 2 inches of fresh snow. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to do service in November and wishing you all a blessed Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you very much, Julie P., for your service this month. And I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this month, and I'll pass.
And thank you very much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 60 in How It Works, starting with the second paragraph down, our description of the alcoholic, and it ends with could and would if he were sought. And I will now ask Tanya P. to get us started. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service today. My name is Tanya P. I'm recovered in Michigan. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear 3 pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he were sought. The first part of the book, all the way up to where we are now, is really centered on steps 1, 2, and 3, or the ABCs. And I had a traumatic experience with the ABCs early in my recovery. I had found a sponsor, and we got this far in the book. And she asked me whether I believed the ABCs, that I was alcoholic and couldn't, or I was a compulsive eater and couldn't manage my life, that no human power could relieve my compulsive eating, and that God could and would if he were sought. And I said, yes, I believe all of it, except I sometimes believe that I can still manage my own life. And there was this long pause, and she said, well, I believe that means you are not ready, and there's no sense in us going forward. So you can call me when you are ready, but we're done for now, and see you later. And I was just astounded. I'm like, okay, I've been told over and over that I need to get honest. And I'm being honest, and you're telling me to go away? I was just, what? So I did find it very traumatic. But in the end, I'm doing one of those really long educational enlightenment things. And it has come to me finally that I am a real compulsive overeater, and I cannot manage my life when I'm in the food, because all I'm thinking about is the food, and no way I can do anything outside of that well. I can still do stuff, but I do it poorly without God's guidance. So that's my experience, strength, and hope on the ABCs, and I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Tanya P., for getting us started. Although we value your experience, we ask you to limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. If you share it on Thursday or Friday, then please wait till tomorrow. So would anybody like to share in this paragraph or on page 60, the second paragraph down? Our description of the alcoholic, and it ends with could and would if he were sought. And we're studying the ABCs. Who would
Jerry?
Like to share? Jerry?
Jerry O.
I would like to share.
Jerry, what's your last initial, Jerry?
S.
Nick F. in Tennessee.
From Riverhead.
Okay,
New York.
I got you, Jerry. Okay, who's in Tennessee?
Nick N-I-C-K. Nick F.
Okay. Oh, I got
Tina A.
Nick.
New Jersey.
Ginger
Tina
M.
A.
Ginger
hey,
M.
Who's that in New York? Who was that in New York?
Ginger M.
Ginger M. I got you, Ginger.
Bethy O.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Who was that? O. Bethy? Bethy O.
Bethy O.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Okay, we'll stop there. Deborah G. Okay, I have Jerry F., Neek F., Tina A., Ginger M., Bessie O., and Deborah G. Everyone else, please mute except Jerry F.
Also, Farah.
Oh, who is that?
Hi.
Farah,
okay, I got you down.
And Mesa, Arizona.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Jerry.
Good morning, good morning,
everyone.
I'm Jerry.
Yeah.
Okay. Compulsive overeater in recovery today from New York. So this paragraph really hits home because I know that I too had a traumatic experience in a way when I first took this did my step work, and I believed that I was a compulsive overeater. I believed that I really couldn't do it on my own, but I didn't believe that God could and would. So I too had to go back to ABCs, and fortunately for me, or my sponsor at the time did say, you know, let's continue. I had to go back, though. I had to go back to step one and let's continue. And it was truly, you know, the best thing I did, because I had to admit that there was a power greater than myself, but I also had to seek that power. And so today, I'm grateful that I'm doing that one day at a time, and that in this hurricane season, I can, you know, have the courage and the trust that God will be with me this week in my food choices, in my decisions, and all of you, because I can't do this alone. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jerry F. from New York. Up next is Nick F., followed by Tina A. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning. I'm Nick in Tennessee. Nick F. in Tennessee, a recovered compulsive overeater, recovered alcoholic. By the grace of God, I'm thankful for this ABCs. And just kind of continuation, I miss the gratitude special edition. But I thank God for the ability to play back. And I just feel like a sense of serenity and calmness after listening to what I guess an hour and a half of thankfulness. You know, and something with these ABCs that I want to be grateful for, that I was an alcoholic and I could not manage my own life. And, you know, my compulsive overeating was much more, in my opinion, a greater, a bigger beast than any other addiction I set down. 6 years clean and sober, and then 3.5 years abstinent, giving away over 250 pounds. I knew what it was to console my soul with a bowl of cereal at 4 or 5 years old, right? I've been overeating my entire life and nothing. You know, I can't manage my own life without God. He's like the missing puzzle piece. And no matter how fancy the puzzle looks and sounds and feels, if I'm missing that one piece, it's basically just a piece of shit, excuse my language. And so, you know, I'm also grateful that my early sponsors, you know, told me about dating, just in case there's anybody early on in any level of sobriety or abstinence. Dating, you know, I pouted my feet this last year about, I want a date, I'm ready to date, I'm ready to date. And I almost ended up on my ass in so many different levels. And I'm grateful that God, you know, what it said, God could and would if he were sought. And I'm in a re-seeking. I didn't lose any of my abstinence or sobriety or anything, but I'm grateful to just be able to humble myself and, you know, get small. I want to be so small that when you see me and when you hear me, you see none of me and all of God. I'm trying to get so close to God that he don't even got a whistle. I could just read God's lips, you know, and also that no human power could have relieved my alcoholism. Y'all, I went to all the great nutritionists and therapists, lived in some of the most beautiful mansions. They stood outside your door when you went to the bathroom. They had locks on the cabinets and all this great, amazing experience that did nothing for me but give me some investigation and some experimental, you know, research. I was needing a miracle. No outside thing can perform a miracle. This thing that's so big and powerful right on the inside of me, when I get quiet enough and when I get still enough, it changed my taste buds. It changed as if I got a new tongue, as if I've got a new brain. It did for me what I could not do, not only what I couldn't do, but what no other person or entity could do for me. And for that, I'm just so, so grateful to continue to be getting right-sized in my thinking and in my body my mind and spirit. So thank you all for your service, and thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Yeah, thank you very much, Nick F. from Tennessee. Up next is Tina A., followed by Ginger M. Good morning, Tina.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Tina A. from New Jersey. I love this. I go to a live meeting, or at least I used to go to a live meeting, that read this every single week. And in the beginning, I really had trouble with this, so I wouldn't have said that I have trouble. I really didn't believe I was so powerless. My first sponsor said, wow, you've got the highest bottom of anybody I've ever seen, because I came in to lose 15 pounds. But as I work my program, I did not have a high bottom. I might not have had so much weight to lose, but I had all this craziness of powerlessness in my life. My life was completely unmanageable. The thought processes that went with the food, the being controlled by the food. And I realized only with my last sponsor around a year and a half ago that I was also restricting. So I had the whole craziness, plus telling myself that I am not so crazy. There is some human power that could fix me, and that human power is myself. But how am I going to fix myself? I'm going to come to program. That's the new way that I'm going to fix myself, through OA.
And I do remember the first time a sponsor told me, you know, Dina, I am not responsible for your abstinence. It's not going to be anything I tell you. Your program is between you and God. I am merely a witness. And that was like a big shift for me. Like, oh, I was constantly looking for human power, or for my own human power. So I was going to give myself more fuel to my power by joining OA. I was going to give my sponsor power now to help me and responsibility to help me. And I switched sponsors quite a number of times in the beginning of my program because this one was too nice to me. I wasn't scared of her, so I didn't mind slipping. That one was too strict. My tender heart doesn't work like that, so I need somebody really caring and understanding who's going to think I'm amazing. And I was keeping on looking for that human power inside of myself, others. And I'm really grateful today to be in a place where at least I can close my eyes and connect to it's only going to be God. There isn't a vestige of human power inside of me that can keep me abstinent, that can keep my thinking sane, that can fix the, you know, fix any of my kids or anything. It's all a power greater than myself who could and would if he had thought. And every single time I close my eyes and seek him, he's right there, and I'm really grateful. That's Patty.
Thank you very much. Dina A. from New Jersey. Bessie O. Good morning, Ginger.
Good morning. Thank you for your service, everyone. Well, it's a beautiful day here in New York today, full of sunshine and happiness, God willing. So this is my first time sharing on this meeting. I think this is my second week in the program in general, and God is helping me, and I'm so very grateful for that. I have a sponsor, and so I started with the big book. And I went to the fridge last week, and as I would normally have done, I would just stand back and peruse what was in the fridge and, okay, so what was I going to eat? And, you know, like I was opening this whole treasure house of gems, deciding which to pick to wear that day. And, but I didn't, you know, of course I was doing program and I stuck to my food plan and took out what I needed for that meal. But I was keenly aware of that difference. And, I think it was the first time in my life or for a very, very long time, but probably first time in my life. That I felt that I was in control of my food and that my life was, with God's help, manageable. I felt the keen difference between the unmanageable life that I had a day before starting the program, and then on this day, the manageability of my life. And it's like a huge light bulb went on in my head, and it was such a wonderful feeling in general of having manageability in my life, because my life in all aspects has not been that way. It's been very, very chaotic and very all over the place. And even though I'm blessed with a lot of talents, because of the chaos and other things, it's kept me from being more visible, which God willing, God will help me, a higher power will help me to change. So that was a great experience. And I love the shares. And the outreach calls, I get a lot out of them. And back to the reading, that I realize that I can only do this with God's help, that I can't, he can, so please do, God.
Time.
And, Thank you, it passed.
Thank you very much, Ginger M. from New York, and welcome. Up next is Bessie O., followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Bessie.
Good morning. This is Bessie L., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I just think this is, as I was considering when I was reading this, like, I had clues, you know, in my life, like my, our personal adventures before and after, of what it would take, you know, and it all came together in this program. I remember at a really young age going to summer camp and just showing up in that little cafeteria and, you know, no other access to food. And I would just get fed 3 times a day. And it was like, oh my gosh, and no wonder I used to like love going to summer camps because it was probably, you know, at that point in my life, one of the first times I experienced that. But that's not the solution alone, you know. And then I had my first daughter and again experienced this temporary relief. I just wasn't thinking about food because I was just completely focused on my daughter. It was brief, you know, and it didn't last long. But, you know, so for me, like if I were to summarize, like that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. I can't stop eating certain ingredients, and I can't stop eating when I succumb to my alcoholic behaviors. And I tried everything. You know, I could go on and on about the adventures that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism or my compulsive overeating. Just the lengths that I went to trying my human resources that just didn't work. And that God could and would if he were sought. And so this is like these first steps. It's just, it has nothing to do with relationships. It has nothing to do with other people. It's just this inside job, you know, which is like, I have a track record. You know, you look at my adventures and it is so evident that I am a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety. None of these human resources work. And it's not like this, oh, I'm never going to, you know, God can, you know, and God does. God could and would, and we're relieved. And so what do I really want to end with? I guess I just want to end with the simplicity of this message, you know, and how it brought together, like, it's like now I'm able to look back and see, like, oh, all along God was there. My higher power was there. All along I kept trying all these things that didn't work. And what a simple program. Like, I can't do this. I surrender, you know, those behaviors and those alcoholic foods that I can never have. And God can relieve me. I'm thankful, Pat.
Thank you, Bessie O. from Colorado. Up next is Deborah G., followed by Sarah. I didn't get your last initial. I'll get it when you check in. Good morning, Deborah G.
Oh, good morning, Mo. And thank you so much for your service. I love when I come on and you're there. It just feels good.
Thank you.
And I love feel-good feelings, and you are a good feel-gooder. And thank you all who have made this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're with us. Oh, it's just a lovely, lovely way to live. And I was reminiscing with the share, thank you all for 12-step in me, about when I was eating every bite with a fork and a salt shaker and salting every single bite I put in my mouth. I wasn't even tasting my food. It was awful. And now I think about it, how I lived and watched myself do it and still do it and still do it. And then one day, it was like I woke up, I was doing the steps in a workshop, and it woke me up and I said, oh my God, I don't want to live like this anymore. I think about it, now I can feel that experience in my body. And there was a woman on the special edition that I really loved her sharing, called her and asked her to take me through the steps because I couldn't do it anymore. And no human power, couldn't do it anymore, could help me with this. And that I knew from the past experiences of doing step work that I needed to bring God into this because it had helped me in the past with other things, but this was the thing that I needed help now. And that's what I did. And I went through those steps, honest, open-minded, and willing. And to get a transformation, to get a deeper relationship with God, with all of this, and to just breathe and surrender and allow myself to have the experience. Have it done. Let it do to me, not by me. You know, and it did happen. It happened. It's like freedom. I could tear up right now when you have that freedom from it, finally. After all that time, it's grace, amazing grace. And I'm so grateful to be here. Still be here and have this experience. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. And before I take Sarah, let me remind everybody where we are. We're on page 60 in How It Works. Second paragraph down, our description of the alcoholic, and it ends with, could and would if he were sought. And after Sarah, I'm going to take another lineup of names. Good morning, Sarah. What's your
last initial? Good morning, my name is... My name is Farah C., compulsive eater from Mesa, Arizona. I want to thank the moderator for doing his service. Because of you, I have a meeting this morning. I also wanted to say that I'm grateful today that I'm healthy and things are okay in my body. I'm working okay. So I just want to give some gratitude there. But coming back to the reading in the big book, I think one of the things that really shocked me this morning was that I was able to hear and listen that I cannot control my life. And that is just very shocking because I've heard that before many times. Meant nothing to me, but I definitely... It really hit bottom this morning. But I also think that the book is not to be taken too literally as to, like, I cannot control my life. I was reading a passage yesterday from my daily reading that I do my spiritual readings in the morning. And there was a passage about how they talked about the loaves and the fishes, how they were passing the loaves and the fishes in the Bible. And it asked, who passed the loaves? That disciples did. Who clean after everybody ate, the disciples did. So God invites us to do the footwork, and then things will fall in its rightful place. So it's like asking us to take action rather than thinking, oh, it's a magical wand, it's going to fix everything for me. That's not what the big book is intended to do. The big book is a book of action, and with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much, Sarah C. from Arizona. Let's see. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on the paragraph on page 60?
Tony Ann A. from New Jersey.
Tony Ann A. from New Jersey. Gotcha.
Sarah G. from Toronto, Canada.
Sarah G. from Canada.
Jody E. from California.
Jody E.
Carrie N. from California.
Sorry, I had to sneeze. What's that? Where? Carrie?
Brian.
Diane B.
I think that's all. I have to stop. I have... Tony A., Sarah G., Jody E., and Carrie N. If I have time, I will take more after that. So everyone mute your phone except Tony A. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. This is Tony Ann A. from Montclair, New Jersey. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, everybody, for the service to make this wonderful meeting happen this morning. But for me, the most important of this passage is that God could and would if he were sought. And it begs the question for me, you know, how is God sought? How is God sought? You know, I've been looking for something my entire life to make me feel better. I looked in packages, boxes, bakeries, stores, you know, all kinds of places. Those things provided temporary relief sometimes, but it never lasted. And so where is it that I'm going to look for this God that's going to change my life? It's a very, very simple answer for me. It is through working the program. Through working these 12 steps is how I find out what God's will is for me. And what I do understand is that God is not going to fix my problems, but I will be provided with the strength and direction that I need to fix my problems with the help of God. I cannot do that by myself. By myself, I do not have strength and direction. I run around and spin circles. And so for me, finding that, shining the light on where God is comes from working the process of the steps, inventorying my feeling, understanding that, you know, I can run my life through this program and I always have a better outcome than what I would do in my own self. And so, you know, inventorying when I feel agitated, looking at the results, you know, working a sixth and seventh step in my own character defects, it is there that I find God. It is there that I find God, in forgiveness of others, forgiveness of myself, and then in step 11 on that, trying to improve my conscious contact with God, because on a good spiritual day, everything is a great, you know, it's a great world. On a bad spiritual day, it's the dumps. So every day I try to make a good spiritual day just by continuing the spiritual practices, connecting with others, and working this program, and just staying close to that thing I call God. Thank you very much, Eva.
Thank you very much, Tony Ann A. from New Jersey. Up next is Sarah G., followed by Jody E. Good morning, Sarah.
Hi, this is Sarah G. from Toronto, Canada. So what I wanted to share on this passage is how it relates to our life so much other than food. Food is like maybe the tip of the iceberg, but really, there's so much more of seeking God and allowing him into our space that could really affect our lives and give us serenity when things don't go the way we want. On Thursday night, my daughter was flying out to New Jersey for a camp reunion, and they delayed the flight three times and then canceled it. And they rebooked them for on Saturday, which we're not allowed to fly, besides that the reunion was starting on Friday. And I think before I started this program, I would have gone into a tizzy. I stayed super calm and just, like, said, God, whatever's meant to be will be. It was a very big deal that she should be there. And God worked everything out. The girl she was traveling with, her father booked a ticket for both of them on a different flight, paid for it, paid for their ground transportation from a further airport to New Jersey. And I think it's from that place of serenity and allowing God to do his thing that you'll start with surrendering control of your food, but really it will end up trickling down to other parts of your life and just help you feel calm and allow space for God to do his thing. You know, that calmness is what led to that. I probably would have gone into crazy action to try to figure things out, but I didn't. I just didn't know what to do, and God took the reins from me and made everything work out. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sarah G. from Toronto, Canada. Up next is Jody E., followed by Carrie N. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. This is Jody E. in California. Grateful to be here today. So, yes, the ABCs, I must concede that I am a real alcoholic. I am a real compulsive overeater and that I cannot manage my own life. And that is certainly true for me. When I'm in the food, I really cannot manage my own life. my life gets unmanageable very quickly. I feel like I'm spiraling down, down, down. And I have tried, you know, myself to manage this disease. Certainly it has not worked. And there is, though, a power that, when I seek it, relieves me of this obsession and this insanity. This God that we call God, at least this power that is called God in this book, you can call it God or you don't have to call it God, but it's something greater than me. Something greater than me that restores me to sanity. Now, I also need all of you. I need the fellowship. Some people describe it as I need a horizontal connection with people, and I need a vertical connection with a higher power. That's one way that I think of it. I need both. Not one or the other, but both. And when I admit that I'm powerless and seek this power comes to me through you. It comes to me through you, but it also comes to me through something other than you. It was God that got me to my first OA meeting. People had a hand in that too, though. Somebody gave me a big book. Somebody put an ad in my local paper for Overeaters Anonymous. So people were involved, but I believe it was this higher power that made my brother give me a big book, which he doesn't remember even doing. My higher power inspired somebody to put an ad in the paper. And my higher power made it so that I saw that ad. To me, that's all divine, divinely inspired. So I happily invite this higher power into my life. And I invite this higher power to use me to carry the message to the next person because it has saved my life. Why wouldn't I be willing to do that? And with that, I will pass. Thank you all for your service.
Thank you, Jody E. from California. Up next is Carrie N., and if I have any time after Carrie, I can take maybe one more name. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning. It's Carrie N. from California, compulsive overeater, and just so glad to be here. It reminded me that I am in the fellowship of the Spirit when I'm with you guys, and I'm so glad I'm on the road of happy destiny. Yeah, I appreciate that phrase, personal adventures. And, you know, being a compulsive overeater, I had no idea that not everybody had the same devotion and interest and motivation in food and obtaining that food and feeling better because of the food that I did. And so I can clearly see over these years that I am a compulsive overeater, thank goodness. And that I can't manage my own life. No human power really could ever do, you know, make a dent in that interest that I have in food. And I was interested in the word relieved, could relieve me, be relieved of my compulsive overeating. I don't know why, but I haven't really run across that word relieved. And so here I am. Thank goodness. Just for today, I'm going to seek a power greater than myself, and I do believe that I can be relieved of my compulsive overeating just for today. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you very much, Carrie Ann. And I have time for one more share. Who would like to share who hasn't shared in the last 3 days?
Bernadette C.
Oh, good morning, Bernadette. You're up. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Bernadette C. I'm from Southern California, and I'm just claiming my seat because My relationships have taken a hit. The scale has taken a hit. And I really miss recovery. There's such a difference when you try to run your own life because it doesn't work. And believe me, I have tried. So I just wanted to claim my seat and thank you all for being here, especially you, Mo. You're the best. And I pass.
Thank you, Bernadette. Thank you for being here. Time for maybe another 2-minute share. Who would like to take that?
Juanice in Southern California.
Okay, Juanice, it's yours.
Hey, everybody. Thank you, Mo. Hey, everybody. My name is Juanice in. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of a powerful and loving God. And I just wanted to share this really quick that someone had told me that they had heard a lady say at a meeting that the steps are like, it's in regards to God could and would if he was sought. And the steps are like a treasure map. And the treasure is God. That's all. I'll pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Juanice. And from California, anybody else have a nugget they want to share? We got another minute or two, minute and a half.
This is Christy. I'll take the last minute.
Okay, Christy.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is Christy, grateful recovering overeater anorexic from Oregon, now in California. And, you know, today I think I'm just walking in acceptance of higher power's will and turning my life and will over to him. I'm just really this month trying to take an attitude and a practice of gratitude and really trying to look at all the ways, you know, my higher power is showing up. There might be a lot of things in my life that I struggle to accept, you know, that I wish were different. And I have to accept, you know, that is higher power's will, and he has a different plan, and I need to trust that plan. And I'm really trying this month, you know, the month of Thanksgiving, and is really to make it a month of gratitude and start every day with a gratitude practice. And so with that, I'm just grateful to have recovery. I'm grateful to go into this holiday season with recovery and abstinence, and I'm grateful to be able to start my day in fellowship and recovery. And I'm just grateful that, you know, I do have a higher power who's looking out for me and my family, and that, you know, I'm not in this alone. So thank you all for being here, and with that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you, Christy D., for keeping that short and closing us out. Thank you, everyone, for your shares this morning. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day. Oops, sorry, I read the wrong paragraph. Never mind. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Ann SCH to read A Vision for You. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you very much. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater living in Vancouver, Canada. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask God in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us in your trudge, the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.